God speaks. Before I go to sleep at night, I ask the Lord to speak to me through my dreams. And I confess that I usually forget my dreams. I do have a notebook on my headboard. I also confess I rarely write in it. But the thought was there, the intent was there. Last week, I woke up thinking about a website address. CoffinNetworking.com. K-A-U-F-E-N networking.com. I've not had this experience before, so I searched for it online. What do you think it is? Nothing. There is no website address, coffinnetworking.com. This isn't the first time I've had dreams that make no sense. But I still ask the Lord to speak to me through my dreams before I go to sleep at night. I will tell you later about a dream that I had that, with an interpretation, made perfect sense. The most powerful man in the world heard God speak in Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more, they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you're trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Thank you, Lord, that you speak today and that you speak in many ways, through dreams, visions, and many other ways. And we pray that we would have ears to hear what you are saying to us. Would you, Lord, help us and teach us and train us to have greater sensitivity to what you're saying and keener eyesight for what you are doing. We love you and we want to see you and we want to hear you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God speaks to surprising ears. Two cows were having an interesting conversation. Bessie, psst, Molly, can you tell me a secret? Or can you keep a secret? Come out to the field and I'll tell you. Molly, no, not out in the field. Tell me here. Bessie, why not out in the field? Molly, you can't tell a secret out in the field, Bessie. It's a field of corn. There are too many ears. Bessie, boo. Molly, sorry. Was that joke too corny for you? God speaks to surprising ears. And we're not just talking about surprising ears of corn, whether it be your conventional corn or rainbow corn. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the Neo-Babylonian or Second Babylonian Empire from 605 to 562 BC. It was called Neo or New Babylonia because Babylon had already risen to power earlier and became an independent city-state more than 1,000 years earlier, whose most famous ruler was King Hammurabi. Maybe you remember hearing of King Hammurabi. I believe I did in social studies in grade 6. No? Huh. Well, this independent city-state had been in existence for about 1,000 years prior to this. Nebuchadnezzar captured Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and carried the people of Judah into captivity in Babylonia. He plays a prominent role in the books of Jeremiah and Daniel, and he appears in 2 Kings, Ezra, and Ezekiel. Nebuchadnezzar II was the oldest son of Nabopolassar, the founder of the Neo-Babylonian or Chaldean dynasty of Babylon. And isn't it great that Nebuchadnezzar is our character today because his name is so much easier to pronounce? Nabopolassar was a general appointed by the Assyrian king, but he later rebelled against Assyria and established himself as king of Babylon in 626 BC. Nebuchadnezzar succeeded his father as king in 605 BC and continued his conquest of surrounding nations. The name Nebuchadnezzar means, O God Nabu, protect my son. From his name and what we learn about him in the book of Daniel, we see that he was a spiritual man who acknowledged that many gods exist, but he was not a follower of the God of Abraham and his descendants. While he led the nation in great military victories, he seems to be much more concerned with rebuilding and beautifying the temple of the god Marduk in the city of Babylon and with temples in other cities around the empire. It's surprising that God would speak to such a man. People thought that dreams were messages from the gods, so they would cause concern for the dreamer. And I remember this feeling when I was called into the principal's office or the boss's office, whether it be at school or at work. The Egyptians and the Babylonians had compiled what we might call dream books that contained sample dreams with keys to their interpretation. That would be an interesting read, would it not? Experts would be trained in dream interpretation, and they would draw from their literature to explain the general theme rather than the specific details of people's dreams and to prescribe the response. Important dreams were often repeated two or three times, and verse 1 of Daniel 2 indicates that he had more than one dream. King Nebuchadnezzar would not have admitted it if he had forgotten his dreams, because forgetting a dream was a bad omen, indicating that his God was angry with him. I suspect the king remembered his dreams, although we aren't told for sure, and that he wanted to test his advisors to see if they were legitimate, trustworthy, and true. Nebuchadnezzar was greatly troubled by his dreams, and he resorted to threats to find the interpretation that he wanted so desperately. Everyone around the king was thrown into turmoil by the king's angry, unreasonable demands. And cutting into pieces was a common punishment in many ancient nations. It was known to the Hebrews, and it was inflicted by the prophet Samuel upon Agag, the king of the Amalekites, in 1 Samuel 15. And according to Babylonian customs, the house in which the criminal lived was usually destroyed, and the land upon which his house stood was cursed forever and could never be used again. That is severe punishment. The Babylonians spoke Aramaic. So from Daniel chapter 2, verse 4, through the end of chapter 7 of Daniel, was written in Aramaic rather than Hebrew. Daniel might have written this passage in Aramaic rather than Hebrew because the focus was on the world power of the day. And Aramaic was spoken in everyday conversation in that world empire, Babylonia. Why would the God of all gods speak to such an unlikely candidate as King Nebuchadnezzar? The Lord is gracious, reaching out to those who do not deserve it, and he's merciful, withholding judgment from those who deserve it. He certainly gives the king here a golden opportunity to turn to him in response to these dreams. You would think that such an experience would make a life-changing impact on Nebuchadnezzar. As we read on in the book of Daniel, however, we see that it does not. God spoke to surprising ears about 400 years earlier when King Saul of Israel had gone off the rails. And Saul was filled with insecurity and jealousy as he tried to kill young David in 1 Samuel 19. 1 Samuel 19, verses 18 through 24. Let's look at this passage here. 1 Samuel 19, 8 and verse 18. When David had fled and made his escape, he went to the prophet Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. Then he and Samuel went to Naioth and stayed there. Word came to Saul, David is in Naioth at Ramah. So he sent men to capture him. But when they saw a group of prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing there as their leader, the Spirit of God came upon Saul's men, and they also prophesied. Saul was told about it, and he sent more men, and they prophesied too. Saul sent men a third time, and they also prophesied. Finally, he himself left for Ramah and went to the great cistern at Sekhu, and he asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" "Over in Naioth at Ramah," they said. So Saul went to Naioth at Ramah, but the Spirit of God came even upon him, and he walked along prophesying until he came to Naioth. He stripped off his robes and also prophesied in Samuel's presence. He lay that way all that day and night. This is why people say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" Doesn't this story make you chuckle a bit? Imagining what this would have been like. Saul sends his men, Spirit of God comes on them, and they prophesy, one group after another, and with Saul himself. God humbles him, and his heart was not right. He was trying to murder David. He was breathing out murderous threats, and he was pursuing David through the wilderness because he was fearful that David would take over his kingship. Even though Saul's heart was not right, the Spirit of God graciously and surprisingly came upon him so he could prophesy. We might think that when someone prophesies, receives a dream from heaven, or hears God speaking, he or she is someone special. We tend to equate spiritual sensitivity with spiritual maturity. Beware of confusing giftedness with character. The gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are quite different. The Lord has spoken to and spoken through many people whose lives do not match the messages they receive and deliver. That's why sometimes you might look at me and see my faults and imperfections, my foibles, my warts, and you think, how could God speak through him? He's just an ordinary guy. And maybe you have through your lifetime seen people who have spoken with such great boldness and courage and authority, the words of God, yet they have some severe character defects. This is a sign of God's grace and his mercy. He doesn't use perfect people because none of us are perfect. Jesus is perfect, and he certainly used Jesus. But apart from Jesus, the Son of God, he continually uses imperfect people. Our hope is not to be in the messenger, but in the master who gave the message. Our hope is not to be in the messenger, but in the master who gave the message. Remembering this can save us a lot of confusion and disappointment, even disillusionment. I've talked to a number of people in my lifetime who have become disillusioned with pastors and churches because they have felt let down. And people have mistakenly put their hope and their faith in human beings rather than in the master who wants to use human beings as messengers. Let us put our hope in God, not in human beings. American author Neil Donald Walsh points out God is speaking to all of us all the time. The question is not to whom does God talk. The question is who listens. God is speaking all the time. Have you ever been surprised by the people to whom and through whom God has spoken? How does remembering this help us to stay humble when the Lord speaks to us? God speaks to surprising ears, and he speaks to listening ears. While Nebuchadnezzar was filled with confusion and anger, Daniel appealed to the king for time, asked his friends to pray, then sought God with greater urgency and fervency than he had ever done before. The king's heart was filled with pride, while Daniel's heart was filled with humility. The king demanded that knees bow down before him, while Daniel bowed down before the God of heaven. By the way, this is a description of the Lord, God of heaven, that is used 4 times here in Daniel chapter 2. And it's used nowhere else in the book. Do you think the Lord is trying to tell us something here in Daniel chapter 2? He is the God of heaven. I think of Moses confronting Pharaoh's magicians with the 10 plagues of Egypt in Exodus chapters 7 through 11. And Elijah going toe-to-toe with Ahab's and Jezebel's prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 18. And since the Lord is all-knowing and all-powerful, he knew that Nebuchadnezzar would not humble himself and serve the God of heaven. God was not surprised by Nebuchadnezzar's response or lack thereof. Why then did God speak to this pagan, idolatrous king? The Lord spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar to bring glory to himself. Through the conversations and events here in Daniel chapter 2, we see that the Lord's wisdom and his ways transcend the wisdom and ways of humans and their gods. Marduk was the national supreme god, but the Babylonians worshipped thousands of gods. They were very religious people. They had thousands of gods. For example, our modern 7-day week originated with the ancient Babylonians, for whom each day was associated with one of the 7 planetary gods. By the way, what are the strongest days of the week? Saturday and Sunday, because the rest are weekdays. Now you know. The Lord spoke to King Nebuchadnezzar to demonstrate his glory and his grace through one righteous, albeit imperfect, person. Daniel was not perfect, but he was righteous. He was a godly man. He had a heart for God. Whether it's Abraham interceding for Lot and the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18, Moses interceding for Israel in Exodus 32, or Jesus interceding for all believers in John 17, we see woven throughout the Bible examples of one person's open heart and listening ears and how they make a significant difference through their prayers. One person standing in the gap for many others. And the Lord uses the prayers of those intercessors, those who stand in the gap for others. Daniel's response to the king's demands prevented the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. And you would think that the wise men of Babylon would be forever grateful to Daniel for what he did for them. As we read on, however, in the book of Daniel, we'll find out this was not the case. People have short memories, especially when it's all about them and their ambitions. And that's true today as it was 600 years before Christ. God can speak to us through our dreams while we sleep, and he can speak to us through visions while we are awake. Even though Daniel was a teenager, and let's not lose sight of this, he was 17, 18 years old, somewhere in there. I get the feeling that this was not the first time that he heard God's voice. Daniel demonstrates great confidence that God speaks and that he could hear God's voice. Like young David, who had used his slingshot to kill a lion and a bear to protect the sheep that he was watching. You can read of this in 1 Samuel 17. He was confident he could take on the giant Goliath because he had prepared for this moment. He was ready. He had used the tools given to him, and his confidence rested squarely on God's broad shoulders. As the saying goes, this was not their first rodeo. Daniel was ready because he had developed his sensitivity to God by listening and obeying. We too can develop our spiritual sensitivity toward heaven. And this is something that I cannot do for you and you cannot do for me. We can help one another and encourage one another, but ultimately this is a responsibility that you and I have for ourselves. This is the load that we are to carry. This is a skill that we can develop if we give ourselves to developing it. We should not overlook or underestimate the role that Daniel's 3 friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, played in this intense situation. I don't imagine this was the first time that Daniel turned to them for support and prayer. Instinctively, Daniel knew what he needed to do, that is to pray and ask his friends to pray. And I'm sure they had a prayer meeting like they had never had a prayer meeting before. They prayed with great fervency. Lord, we need you to intervene. We need you to speak. These four teenagers demonstrated humility, wisdom, and spiritual sensitivity well beyond their years that night because they had already cultivated these qualities in their lives. They were ready for this moment. This national crisis in the inner sanctum of the world power of the day, and they were ready. They were prepared to step forward. Dreams and visions are just two of the many ways that God speaks. And I am confident that he speaks a lot more than we realize. While there are checks and balances to help us discern his voice, the Bible, inner witness, and counsel of others, just to name a few, we should be inspired by Daniel to have listening ears. Talk to the Lord and ask him to talk to you. Pay attention to the photos and the videos that come to your mind. You know what I mean by that? The still pictures and the movies. God gives us images, and sometimes he gives us a movie, a video clip perhaps. Pay attention to these. God wants to speak to us, whether we are awake or we are asleep. It's one thing to hear God's voice, but it's quite another to obey God's voice. Obedience is very important in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. Matthew 13, starting at verse 10, the disciples came to him, that is Jesus, and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And Jesus replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." This is a mystery of the kingdom. The more we have, the more the Lord will give to us because we are obeying and we are being faithful with what he entrusts to us. But if we do not obey and if we are not faithful, even the little we have will be taken from us. In the kingdom of God, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. This is true with the secrets of heaven. This is true with God's words, photos, and the videos that he gives us. And if we are faithful to them, if we obey them, he will give us more. If we refuse to obey or if we ignore and go on with our lives and get distracted by everyday life, eventually it will dry up. And that's not his fault. It's our fault because we are not cultivating this sensitivity to his voice. He does not speak so we can look down our noses at others while we contemplate how spiritual we are. You know, maybe you've met some people like that who come across like they are somehow superior to us. I would call them Gnostics. In the early church, there were people who had this view called Gnosticism, and really it was a claim to have inner knowledge, an elitist kind of knowledge, and it was reserved for the super spiritual. Gnosticism lives on today. Super spiritual people live on today, and that is not why God speaks to us, so that we can be super spiritual and look down our holy snoots at the people around us. He gives us, he entrusts to us his words and his pictures so we do something with it. He does not speak just to give us a spiritual high or goosebumps or special memories of spiritual experiences. He speaks to us so that we will do or say something with it. And often he speaks to us or he shows us special revelations to share with other people. Yes, sometimes it's for us to enjoy and to benefit from personally, but often it's to share with others. And that's really where it gets tricky, because sometimes we just have to risk looking silly. There are people that might not want to hear or see what we share with them. Or there'll be times when maybe you'll have this dream that I had, and you'll think, what was that? CoffinNetworking.com. And maybe you'll miss it. It's okay. You don't have to bat 1,000. Sometimes you can miss it, and that's all right. We're human. Howard Hendricks taught, biblically speaking, to hear and not to do is not to hear at all. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Biblically speaking, to hear and not to do is not to hear at all. While staying at the home of Bernard and Alice Sakala in Lusaka, Zambia in 2018, I had a dream early one morning in which I went to the barber for a haircut, which in and of itself is kind of unusual. However, I really did visit a barber once when we were in Lusaka visiting the Sakalas. The result of going to the barber was thick, black, medium-length African hair on the top of my head. Can you picture that? Photoshop that image on top of my head. As you can imagine, this was quite a shock when I looked in the mirror in my dream. I shared this at the Sakala's breakfast table and we had a good laugh, except for my new friend. And Deus leads a church in Kawe, Zambia. And my friend Deus went back to his room that night and he prayed about it. I thought he just would have a laugh about it, but he took it seriously. He went back and prayed about it, then shared this interpretation the next morning. Your dream is very important to the life of your ministry. God visited you in a vision at a barbershop when cutting your hair. The black African hair on your head stands for African brothers and sisters in need. It's an establishment of your passion and ministry. Then I saw elders of the church in Canada provide guidance to you, and I saw your passion and vision for Africa grow. That's weighty. That's pretty cool. I think the Lord spoke. As for CoffinNetworking.com, I'm not so sure, but this one, I'm confident God was speaking. And I'm thankful for the interpretation. When we wake up in the morning, do we anticipate the Lord will speak to us through the day? This is an intentional choice that we can all make. When we lay our heads down at night, do we ask for dreams from heaven? When he speaks, are we quick to obey? God speaks to surprising ears and to listening ears. The Lord wants us to hear him and obey him. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you aren't in an ivory tower, afar off, aloof from us, and giving us the silent treatment. Thank you that you communicate. You want to reveal mysteries and secrets of heaven to us and through us. And this is a privilege and a responsibility we dare not take lightly. And Lord, we want to be in on this. We want to hear your voice. We want to see what you want to reveal to us as your people. And we want to bring your messages and your pictures and your movies to other people. Would you train us in this, Lord? And where we have been more interested and distracted by and consumed with the things of this world, we ask you to forgive us. We confess it as sin. We repent and turn from it. And we think of the words of Jesus that he quoted from Deuteronomy. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. There is nothing like hearing your voice, O God. Nothing like it. It is food for our souls and spirits. And the things of this world in comparison are just junk food. But you provide food from heaven for us to feed on and to share with other people. Thank you that you speak. Give us ears to hear what you are saying. Eyes to see what you are doing. Humble hearts, obedient hearts, that we would be quick to respond to what you say and show to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God speaks.